in an occupation plagued by stress, ranking 9th most stressful job in 2011, how do EMS providers continue to come to work, and what stress-reducing behaviors do they use?
So the question continues to be, for public safety, how can we help our providers to stay strong, and how can we help them to have the right combination of strengths and actions that are going to protect them from the stressors that they face?
This month, we showcased the first of a two-part series on stress. We invited Dr. Sheila Roth, a professor and department chair of social work at Carlo University, as well as a licensed social worker, who has long worked and researched EMS providers and their work-induced stress. Dr. Roth, who is also an EMT and critical incident stress management team member, has provided us with insights on stress management, sleep health, and the well-being of the EMT. Part 1, we focus on life after stress. How do we show it, and how do we deal with it?
What I usually see as far as symptoms of stress in EMS providers, really, it's impossible to talk about the symptoms that the EMS provider experiences without actually saying that it doesn't impact their entire life, so their family, their friends. And some of those symptoms would be seen on the realms of the cognitive, emotional, and behavioral levels. So, for example, a cognitive symptom might be difficulty with details, poor concentration. You might see somebody who has maybe difficulty with short-term memory, you know, especially following a critical incident or a very difficult call. On an emotional level, you might see things like short temper, anger, and you can see how that might spill into family life. Guilt and shame are big with providers, even though they may not name it that. You know, it's the would've, should've, could've type of self-questioning that we, you know, hear people say after a call, I should have done this, I wish I had done something different. Anxiety sometimes. A preoccupation with the event that they carried on their job. They did the event, they worked the call, and then they come home or they're out at a social event with family and friends, and to the people around them, it seems like they're not paying attention. And sometimes what it is they're having problems disengaging from the event of the day, and they're sort of going over it in their mind over and over. So it becomes very hard emotionally for them to reattach to being in the social setting from the detachment that an EMS provider has to really sort of put on to do his or her job.
EMS is all about partnership. So how can you look out for your partner and his or her level of stress? Here are some of the warning signs.
Behaviorally, you see things like, sleep and diet changes. You might see impulsive behaviors, risk-taking, and you may also see clinging behavior or an overprotective kind of attitude. You hear this a lot from spouses of EMS providers. When I've worked with them, you'll hear them say, you know, he or she won't let our five-year-old ride their bike outside anymore. And it may be that, you know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, they had a call where a child was killed on a bicycle. So you'll see some of those things carry over into the other aspects of life.
When we get stressed, we all respond differently. Some of us might bury ourselves in work and overtime. Some might eat a pint of ice cream, while others internalize their stress and stay quiet. Dr. Roth pointed out that those coping strategies may not be the healthiest and took the opportunity to identify some alternatives.
As a professor, I teach people to be social workers. And what I always start off with is telling people that, you know, we every single one of us in our lives carry around two different tool bags or toolkits. And one of those toolkits is a healthy toolkit, and it contains all kinds of healthy coping skills. So you might have, for example, a good support system, and that would include emotional support, people who can instrumentally help you with things, people who will share information and communicate well with you. So that's one thing we might have in our toolkit. Another thing would be humor, a really good sense of humor. That is a huge help with coping. And we see that a lot. I see that a lot in EMS and, you know, public safety across the board. And actually, you know, being around public safety people for me is very, it's a lot of fun because they are so much fun. You know, they like humor. And the unhealthy toolkit that people also have the potential to use at all times would be things like poor eating habits. So not eating is also a poor eating habit. People often think of just overeating, but not eating can be just as harmful. And so when we go through a critical incident or a crisis, it's not uncommon for people's appetite to go away. And so we need to be on the lookout for folks who have stopped eating. Lack of exercise. A big one is a lack of downtime, not allowing oneself to relax, not allowing oneself to take 20 minutes to sit quietly in a chair and just kind of close your eyes or clear your mind if you can. That's a big one that I've seen people, you know, not do. And another one is self-medication. People can self-medicate in a variety of ways. They can do it with alcohol. Some people do it with drugs. Some people do it by smoking to extreme, eating, you know, to excess, infidelity. Some people use infidelity to self-medicate, and then, of course, that can ruin a family life. You know, you name it, gambling, shopping, the whole nine yards. So that's another one that potentially can be in the unhealthy toolkit. So what I say is that if you are used to coping with tough situations by putting your hand in the healthy toolbox, by grabbing that piece of fruit, by talking to a friend, by using your support system. When things get bad, the chances are higher that you're going to continue to put your hand into the healthy toolkit because we are creatures of habit. Creatures of habit do the same things to feel good. However, if you're someone who has been used to putting your hand more so often in the other toolkit, it's more than likely that you're going to drink to cope with feeling bad or that you're going to not take care of yourself to cope. I always tell providers, you know, don't beat yourself up for having your hand in the wrong toolbox. If you're a creature of habit. And changing your routine, being open to say, maybe I need to learn a couple new toolkit things, a couple new coping skills to put into my toolkit so that I can reach into the healthy one more often. That's how you make change in your life, and that's how you can go on to stay in your career and to be healthy and to have a stable home life and to try and get through these really rough times. Having a hobby. And I just came across in the study that I did with Dr. Reed also. I was so impressed with the group that participated in the study, how many of the providers had hobbies away from EMS. That is so critical, and it's such a positive coping skill. So people would say, you know, when I'm not doing the job, my job, I am fishing or I'm at my cabin or I'm kayaking or I'm doing something, you know, outside of EMS. Another really important coping skill that I'm seeing more of, I have to say, in the last, I'd say, 10 years, is that EMS providers are becoming better at educating themselves about how do I take care of myself. So self-care is becoming more important, just from my perspective. So that's a really positive coping skill that I see people have in their healthy toolkit. Eating healthy, of course, is important. But eating, you know, is an issue for EMS providers because, you know, it's very seldom that an EMS provider during a shift can actually eat a meal. And so that becomes a stressor. And I think that, you know, we need to make that a bigger part of EMS education and a bigger part of agencies supporting healthy snacks, healthy eating for EMS providers as a way of coping. Because I don't know about you, but I know myself, if I'm hungry, it's really difficult for me to function. So I think that it's important for EMS providers to have frequent snacking, frequent meals, you know, little tiny meals during their shift, have quick kind of grab-and-go kinds of snacks, but that carry a lot of healthy punch with them. So maybe, you know, nuts or, you know, some fruit, vegetables, things like that that you can easily grab at. And the other thing I've seen people who have healthy coping skills is exercise. And, of course, that doesn't mean running, you know, a race or a marathon. It could just be taking a walk. When you walk, you're not only exercising your body by moving, but you're actually breathing in fresh air. And that's a really nice way to sort of relax and exercise at the same time. You're, you know, clearing your head and your thoughts.
Whether it is at work or home, EMS providers are frequently under extreme amounts of stress, which has the potential to affect performance. Through identification of these warning signs and utilization of these coping strategies, our hope is that EMS providers can better manage the stress while on the job. Stay tuned next month when we continue our discussion with Dr. Roth and talk about sleep and stress and the ways to stop stress before it happens. To learn more about MSARN or to leave feedback on our podcast, log on to podcast.msarn.org. For MSARN, my name is Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you and good day.